We're here with Dr. Ben Carson, and we have some questions that a friend has sent in, Ivana Zendeka from Slovakia, who has become very interested in you, Ben. She heard your life story, and she's very much into leadership and motivation and so on. So she sends these dozen questions in. Maybe before we start, just a little bit of what's happening to you in your life at the moment. Where are you and what's going on?
Well, the biggest thing that's going on is that I just became a grandfather
on February the 29th.
And it's a little girl, which is even better because I never had sisters and I never had daughters. So now I have a granddaughter and she's the cutest little thing you can imagine.
Absolutely. I've seen Tesoro. She's the absolute gem. Yes. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
To you and to Candy. Now grandparents and enjoying it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Who inspired you the most in your life, and do you still have people who inspire you now? So basically asking for the past and the current.
Well, I think as a youngster, I was inspired by not necessarily people who are alive, but I was inspired by Joseph in the Bible, who had a very difficult time in that he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, but he became the best slave there was. And then the captain of the Egyptian guard's wife had eyes for him, but he wouldn't yield to her. So his honesty and integrity landed him in jail. But he didn't get bitter about that either. He just said, I'll be the best prisoner. He ended up with a responsible position and then ended up as governor of all of Egypt. That really inspired me to no limit. And then also the story of Booker T. Washington, up from slavery. It was illegal for slaves to read. He taught himself to read anyway, read everything he could, get his hands on, and became an advisor to two presidents. That inspired me. And then my mother inspired me.
I thought you certainly would mention her.
Who had only a third grade education, but would never be a victim, no matter how difficult things were, despite the fact that she had to raise us by herself because she discovered her husband was a bigamist, despite dire poverty and a difficult environment. She would just not be a victim, and she wouldn't let us be victims, and she never accepted excuses, and I think that was a wonderful thing. Yeah. Today, I'm inspired by some of my colleagues in medicine who continue to come up with all kinds of creative ways to do things, and it requires an enormous amount of knowledge and skill to do these things, and from my perspective, I can appreciate it. I think probably the average person doesn't appreciate it because they don't really know what goes into something like that.
True. Yeah. That's a good commendation for your colleagues in the field you're working in. Second question, what books and movies would you recommend to read, watch as a must? You probably don't have a whole lot of time to do much movie watching or reading, but some suggestions maybe.
Well, you're right, I don't. Although weekend before last, we were traveling to New Zealand and on the airplane.
Yeah.
We looked at Gifted Hands.
All right, that was on, huh?
It was on the airplane.
How was it to look at somebody portraying yourself?
Actually, it was, it's always very touching. And, Candy always cries all the way through the whole movie, and she did again. But I just thought it's wonderful because I get tens of thousands of letters from young people after they've watched the movie because a lot of schools require the kids to watch it, and they're very inspired. And I think it was another mechanism that the Lord was able to use as a witness. But
that must be difficult to answer all those tens of thousands of letters that come in.
Yeah, I just generally send one letter for a group.
Yeah, you need to because otherwise you'd never get any work done.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. Also, there's a movie called Les Miserables, which is a very, very touching movie. I enjoy it. But in terms of must-see movies, I'm not sure there is such a thing. There are must-read books, though.
Must-read books. I was for sure going to say, maybe not the movies, but knowing a little bit about your life history and how books have influenced you in your life.
Absolutely.
Which books, then?
Well, the Bible, of course, and certainly the Book of Proverbs. I think it's not as important what books one reads as that one reads books. And one needs to read lots of books because it's like exercising the mind.
Right.
People lift weights to exercise their muscles. Well, reading books is like exercising your mind because you have to take those letters and make them into words. You can always tell a reader because they know how to spell. And you take those words and make them into sentences into concepts. It forces you to use your imagination. And that usually is much more vivid than what you see on television. Mm-hmm. And that's why people who are readers tend to be much more creative than people who sit around watching the screen all the time.
Yeah, and I suppose also when you're doing the reading, you're developing the brain that you spend so much time working in.
Exactly.
Maybe you could tell us just a little bit about how you see that operating. How can we train our brains better? Maybe that would be the question.
Well, first of all, recognize that your brain remembers everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard, every experience you've ever had.
I wish I could find that in my head.
It's there.
Just the access is problematic.
Right? The access can be problematic, although you can train yourself for the access. You can train yourself to remember things. And I used to do it in medical school all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would memorize whole chapters of the Bible. And
while you were doing medical school?
Yes.
You would think that you'd be memorizing the medical textbook.
You would think so, but by memorizing the chapters of the Bible, it made it much easier for me to memorize everything else.
Okay. All right. Good technique then.
And also you can associate things that you need to remember with things that you already know. And there are lots of techniques for retrieval. But the important thing for people to know is if you put a lot of the wrong kinds of things into your brain, those things affect who you become.
Mm-hmm.
They affect the way that you perceive things and the way that you think about things.
True.
And you can't put a whole bunch of garbage in there and expect that you can just divorce yourself from it,
because mm-hmm.
it doesn't work that way.
Third question, how did you deal with naysayers and those who doubted you?
Well, there were plenty of naysayers.
I could imagine.
And, you know, I've been blessed by the Lord with the ability to segregate them into a part of my brain where I can basically discard it.
Okay.
And I don't pay any attention to naysayers. I never have. I doubt that I ever will. And I just have the ability to forget about them and forget about what they said and concentrate on the positive things.
Concentrate on the positive.
And that is an incredibly good thing, because you think about it, if you were a tight wire walker, and all of a sudden, you start concentrating on what happens if you fall off the wire, as opposed to how you walk across the wire.
Yeah.
Guess what would happen to you pretty quickly.
Okay. And I suppose if you focused on those who doubted you, the best answer to those who doubt is what?
To eliminate their doubts. And that's that's a kind way of saying it. To eliminate
by demonstration,
them. Yeah. I mean, it's like in the movie, when the teacher was chastising all the kids in the class for letting a black kid be number one, I was thinking in my mind, I'll show her. I wasn't unkind or disrespectful, but I just said, she'll see.
Demonstration is a much better way than arguing.
Right? Excellent. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, what song is most played on your PC, iTunes, CD player? Simply which songs gives you a kick and moves your soul? I don't know if you have an MP3 player.
Of course I do. I do live in a modern age.
Well, there you go.
But
and what do you play on it?
I play virtually all classical music, particularly Handel and Bach. I just absolutely love, particularly their choral pieces and Bach organ music. I play all the time, but in terms of pop music, you might be surprised to know that there's one song that I particularly like, and it's a country music tune called Yesterday When I Was Young. And I just think it's such a meaningful piece of music because it's done by Roy Clark, and, you know, he basically talks about how foolish he was. And, you know, sometimes you learn the lessons too late in life.
True. Actually, that connects to this question. Do you think that today's young people think and use their brain differently due to exposure of technology and connected world?
Well, there's no question that there's a much higher incidence of the diagnosis of attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask parents about their child who's been diagnosed with this, and I say, can they watch a movie? Oh, yeah, they can watch movies all day. Can they play video games? Oh, yeah, they can play video games all day. And I say, they don't have attention deficit disorder. They just have a brain that is programmed for rapid action. Mm-hmm. You take a little baby, you put them in front of TV, you take little kids, you give them the computer games, and then all of a sudden they're in school with a teacher who's not turning into something every few seconds. They're not going to pay attention to that. So that's what I call pseudo-attention deficit disorder. And we have an extraordinarily large percentage of the population who now suffers from that. And we do have solutions for it. I just tell them, wean them off of that stuff and spend quality time with them. Reading, discussing things. And I think it makes a big difference. But we have to deal with reality also. Recognize that we do live in a different time now. And people have smartphones on their hip, which means they don't have to memorize a lot of stuff because all they have to do is take out the smartphone and they've got an entire world of knowledge right there in their hand instantly. So,
and they can read it, which is what you were talking about before.
Absolutely.
Reading it all.
And what really becomes crucial in that kind of environment is learning how to use the information appropriately, not so much knowing something, but knowing how to use that information.
Right. Okay, here's a question that might be interesting. Actually, two together. What keeps you up at night? And then how many hours per day do you usually sleep?
Well, nothing keeps me up at night.
Nothing keeps you up at night.
As soon as my head hits that pillow, I'm gone. And sometimes my wife complains about that. I usually get between 6 and 7 hours of sleep a night. I need that much to feel refreshed and invigorated.
So
the next
pretty
day.
Normal.
Yeah. Very normal. You should get 8 hours.
Right.
Once I retire, I probably will try to train my body. I don't think I could do it now, even if I wanted to, but I have to try to retrain my body.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that getting a chance, meeting someone who, quote, sees your talent and opens a door for you is needed on one's journey?
It certainly helps to meet someone who can be a mentor and someone who perhaps has gone that pathway before you and you can benefit from their trials and triumphs and mistakes. Is it absolutely necessary? No. Because of the kind of brain that God gave us, each one of us, it is an extraordinary brain that can engage in rational thought processing so that we can actually open our eyes, look out at the environment and say, see that guy right there? All he does is drink alcohol and chase women. And look where his life is. And this guy over here who uses drugs, and look where his life is. And you can see that pattern. And you can say, is that a pattern that I want to replicate? Or you see this other person over here who's doing extraordinarily well, and another one, you say, isn't it interesting that those people spent the first part of their lives preparing themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to school, they did the right kinds of things, they stayed out of trouble. And you can actually, on the basis of what you see, make a corrective change. But it's a lot easier if you have somebody who's helping to guide you.
Absolutely. What do you think about the current educational system? Should it be transformed? If so, why? That's a leading question.
Obviously, it's different in different parts of the world. So you go to South Korea, they have a terrific educational system there. And that's why they almost always score at the top in the international surveys. On the other hand, if you look at American education, which used to be the envy of the world until we started integrating into the curriculum all kind of politically correct things and taking out of it the essential things that you needed to know. What needs to change again? And this is not a politically correct answer, but we need to reinstill values into the educational system. It's not done now because the politically correct group says, who gets to say what's right? Who gets to say what's wrong? Who gets to say which lifestyle is one that we should emulate? As a result of that, we're seeing increasing numbers of young people who are just completely lost. They don't have a moral compass. They don't have anything that they can cling on to that gives them an identity. And so they become extraordinarily vulnerable to negative peer pressure and things of that nature. That's one thing. The other thing is we need to integrate technology more into education. recognizing that really, really good teachers are not all that common, but they have a profound effect. As we develop the ability to have virtual classrooms, we need to be able to take those teachers and put them in front of a million students instead of 30 students.
That's a brilliant idea, isn't it? You could really just have not so many teachers, but a lot more students because they could interact in that virtual way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's going to happen. I do believe that actually that's going to be the thing that's going to really save this nation.
What are the most essential skills and values one should possess and master in order to succeed in the future? Look at your crystal ball and see what you think for the future.
I think there are certain skills and principles that last over time, such as perseverance and integrity and the willingness to work hard. If you take those things and you transport somebody back 1,000 years, or you transport them 1,000 years into the future, those are going to be successful people. So I think there are lasting principles that need to be emphasized.
That will be good for now and for the future.
Absolutely.
Right. How do you keep fit? Talking, as Ivana says here, about diet, workouts, and special habits.
Well, unfortunately, it's something that is neglected by a lot of people, and that's why in our society we have so much obesity now. Mm. I always say to people, you know, when it comes to diet, you can eat all you want as long as you burn it off. I had a roommate in college. The food was too good, so he had to have at least double portions every time. And he was 60 pounds overweight. And he finally decided he would just swim twice a day. And he lost all the weight in 3 months. Hmm. So what I personally do is I take the stairs at work. You know, my office is on the 8th floor.
Well, how many times do you go up and down on that every day?
Several times a day.
Well, that's good workout.
And it makes a big difference because I've noticed whenever I go on vacation or change my routine, I'll pick up 3, 4, 5 pounds, and then I get back to work and it's gone quickly because I start my routine up again. Everybody needs to develop a routine. And some people say, I don't have time to do anything. You can take the stairs. You got time to do that.
Yeah. And what about diet? Any special recommendations there?
Well, the key thing with diet is control. It's so difficult sometimes because stuff is so good, and you just want to eat
more.
Yeah,
we're about to have lunch now, so
exactly.
We better practice what we preach here.
And really the key there is taking your time and enjoying your meal, not wolfing it down. Because if you wolf it down, your hypothalamus doesn't have an opportunity to kick in. Your satiety center doesn't have a chance to tell you that you're full. And so you will overeat. If you eat slowly, the glucose in your bloodstream levels will rise appropriately, will signal the hypothalamus that you're full, and you'll stop eating. That's one of the key tricks that I try to adhere to.
Right. Okay, good. Do you believe in coincidences?
I believe that everything is ordered in some way or other. And now by that, I don't necessarily mean that I think God pre-plans every aspect of our lives, but he knows the general direction that you're going in. There are a number of pathways, and you're free to take one of those pathways, and there are consequences for each of them. And other people have exactly the same choices that they can take. Does that sometimes coincide? Do things happen? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a bigger plan rather than just a bunch of accidents.
All right. And going along with that one, this one, do you believe in luck or do you favor the concept of sincere hard work will be rewarded? I can guess what you might say to that.
I very much believe in luck, but I believe you make your own luck.
Exactly.
We have the opportunity to create that. And sometimes people say, yeah, but what about the lottery? You know, that person, they won the lottery. Well, bear in mind, by definition, that's one of those like one in a million, 1 in 2 million things. You know, you don't plan your life around that. But you can plan your life around certain values and principles that are likely to lead to success versus failure.
Good. All right. And then just lastly, if you wanted to have this platform to speak to many people, what would be the most important thing you would want to say?
The most important thing that I would say is that having a central focus in your life that provides guidance and values is the principal thing when it comes to success. And in my life, that thing is God. It removes an enormous amount of anxiety and confusion because you know what to do. You have a guiding principle. And so you don't spend a lot of time frustrated and running from pillar to post. You already know where you need to go.
Okay, on behalf of Ivana Sendeka, Dr. Ben Carson, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ivana, and all the others who are associated with you.